At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Wednesday. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by as we are certainly getting ready here for a big night in Major League Baseball, one that has seen an awful lot of rain wrecking some havoc here. We've got some cancellations across the board already. We won't be seeing the Cubs playing tonight. We won't be seeing Skubal and the Pirates going up against the Pittsburgh or Detroit going up against Pittsburgh there. What we will get, though, and what we have right now is a game in the bottom of the second inning in Miami with the Phillies looking to bounce back after getting that winning streak set down yesterday against Miami. Mazur with his first start of the year for the Marlins right now. Ranger Suarez going for Philadelphia, but no score in that one. We do have a bit of a rain delay in the nation's capital. We got Washington right now. Parker set to go against Herman Marquez, the red hot Rockies. I can't even believe I'm saying it. Kind of hurts to even roll off the tongue, but the Rockies are mashing the ball and they're winning games. I wonder if somebody told them they're the Rockies. Maybe they can come back down to reality, but a win is a win and they are starting to stack them up. So good for them. But that game was already supposed to be underway, but the tarp, from what I see, is still on the field. So we'll let you know when that game gets underway. And of course, the New York Mets, what a way to lose a game last night. The bullpen melts down. The Atlanta Braves come back, win that game in walk-off fashion. And tonight, they got the race on the mound. Chris Sale taking on Paul Blackburn, who was actually pretty good in his first start of the season last time out for the New York Mets. But he'll get to show his worth and value here to this rotation, who's going to need some help with Tyler McGill hitting the IL. That was announced over the last couple of days. Not great news for the health of that rotation, but getting Blackburn back could very well help him. But those bats of the Mets are going to have to get it done against Chris Sale. And tell you the truth, I'm not buying the Atlanta Braves offense here. Yes, they came back and won that game. That was a 4-1 game, and they should not have been anywhere near that if the bullpen did its job last night. I get it's Chris Sale, but to lay $2 with this Atlanta Braves offense, now, to me, it's dog or pass. Now, Chris Sale, 7.5 Ks is interesting because you can see the juice to the under here. And I agree with that. The Mets are pretty good at making pitchers work in spots like this. And yeah, we saw, of course, Juan Soto deliver last night, starting to come around. I think the Mets could very well be the value play of the night against Atlanta. And we're all waiting to see whether or not the Yankees ever score a run again. That's a hot topic of conversation. Why? Well, because they haven't scored in 28 innings here, which is just mind-numbing. But the good news is there is somebody hitting on the Yankees, and his name is Stanton. Two more hits last night in just his second game of the season. So he is batting 400, went 2-for-4 the other night, 2-for-4 yesterday. maybe the Yankees can catch a little bit of what he's got going on. And this is all going to come down to when Aaron Judge starts putting the ball in play right now. He was 0-for-4 again last night with 3 strikeouts. That's not going to get it done. But I do think the Yankees have a pretty good opportunity to go get this Angels bullpen and start getting some runs here. Yarbrough will start for him. 9.5 is the total. I've already laid the 1.5 with the Yankees and took their team total up and over. I think it's a big night for the Yankee bats here. Baltimore and Tampa also getting ready to go with Rodgers taking on Taj Bradley. How good is this Tampa Bay Rays team? And we also learned a little bit earlier today that there are advanced discussions about the Tampa Bay Rays being sold. So we already learned earlier, if you're just joining us a couple hours ago, we learned about the Buss family selling their interest in the Lakers to the Dodgers ownership group there. So we're going to have some new ownership in the NBA with one of the legendary franchises. But Tampa and Major League Baseball has not been happy with what the ownership there from the Rays has been doing. They bought it in the early 2000s for $200 million, if you want to now, just to give you an idea where we're at and how profitable Major League Baseball owning franchises is. If you buy it, oh, I don't know, let's say 20 years ago, $200 million, I think the valuation that they were talking was somewhere in the $1.5 billion range. So, yeah, ownership group being headlined by one of the very big developers in Florida, in Jacksonville, in fact. Looks like all the pieces are in play. There's no word on what they're going to do with the Tropicana Field. But I can tell you this, that ownership group, they could use some new blood for the Tampa Bay Rays. Maybe an ownership group that will actually spend some money instead of developing players for the rest of the American and National League. So some good news there. And they are red hot, crushing the ball. I don't see any reason to step in front of them again tonight against Baltimore. And then how about Texas getting just one, just when you think the Texas Rangers turn a corner? They come out last night against Seth Lugo, who is a regression candidate. All of a sudden, they can only score one run. And the Royals, out of nowhere, scored 6 runs last night. 6. They haven't scored 6 runs all month combined. But yet, they scored 6 last night at Arlington. And tonight, interestingly enough, what a pitcher's battle. Bubich going for Kansas City and Patrick Corbin for the Texas Rangers. And I can't listen. It's beyond me. Patrick Corbin is a new guy. If you have not been paying attention, a year ago, we celebrated every day here on the network and on this show about Patrick Corbin. It was fade Patrick Corbin day every time he took the mound. And boy, oh boy, is that long gone. He has been quite serviceable. He has really pitched fantastic this year for the Texas Rangers. He is no longer the laughingstock, and I wouldn't be running to the window to fade him anytime soon. Love the under in this game. Both of these lineups are some of the worst in the American League against left-handed pitching, and you got 2 pretty decent ones. I can't believe I'm saying it, but yeah, Patrick Corbin for the Rangers, of course, and Bubich going for Kansas City. That game coming up at the top of the hour. And I like Texas to get back at plus money. I'll take a shot with the Rangers and Patrick Corbin, but I really like that under more than anything here. And we also talked about Minnesota and Cincinnati. Cincinnati, the bats have come alive. Minnesota, not so much here. But they do have Bailey Ober back on the mound going up against Nick Lodolo. And it's been all Cincinnati money in the marketplace, and an under, in fact, is what we're starting to see here. It was 9. I'm starting to see 8.5s in the market. So might we get maybe a little more of a pitcher's battle in this one here tonight? And welcome back, Justin Verlander, who will take the mound for the Giants looking to bounce back after that loss to the Guardians last night. Verlander versus Logan Allen coming up at 9:45 Eastern. We'll have much more as Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
My name is Amanda. I work with women who are trying to quit smoking. And I have some tips for you in case you're pregnant or thinking about having a baby. First thing is, keep trying to quit. Or better yet, don't start smoking. It can cause premature birth, which can then increase the risk of your baby having developmental delays, problems with eyesight, breathing, and more. So don't give up. There are people like me who are here to support you, because I know what can happen if you don't quit. Your baby could be born 2 months early and weigh only 3 pounds. She could be in the NICU for almost a month, put in an incubator and fed through a feeding tube that goes through her nose down into her little stomach. I know that because I smoked while I was pregnant, and that's what happened to my little baby. I quit. You can too.
Quit your way. Call 1-877-YOU-CAN-NOW or visit tobaccofreeflorida.com. Developed by CDC.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. A very happy Wednesday to you as we've got some Major League Baseball underway right now, including the New York Yankees, who promptly gave up a solo home run there to something called a Chenul, I think. Anyway, 1-0 there, bottom of the first inning. So those that might have looked at the over, it closed at 9, 9.5, in-game number 10.5 right now. Yankees coming up to the plate. Also coming up to the plate, our good friend Mark Zinno here, who, listen, Zin, the Yankees, we talked about it this morning here on the early line, and 28 innings, and yet it's the third time they've had such a streak in the history of the organization, which is kind of mind-blowing. But listen, if they're going to hit, the Angels in this rotation and this bullpen, it ain't going to last forever, or is it here tonight?
Who knows at this point in time? Again, the problem with the Yankees is that if Aaron Judge isn't producing, nobody else is really capable of manufacturing runs. And that's part of the issue. But you'd like to think that for a team in the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim that boasts three starters who are in the bottom five in field and independent pitching in all of Major League Baseball for qualified starters, that's a bad place to be for your starters. They have the worst bullpen in Major League Baseball as far as bullpen ERA is concerned. And the Yankees can't seem to score a run off this team. So it's a really bad sign. Excuse me, they're a bottom three bullpen. I wanted to be accurate here. But it's a really bad sign right now that the Yankees offense isn't doing anything. You're talking about Paul Goldschmidt batting .170, Cody Bellinger batting .226, both of them in the month of June. These are really bad numbers. And if they can't turn it around here, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays could sneak up on them quicker than you think.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be shocking. And speaking of those Rays, they got an interesting game coming up against Baltimore here, a little battle of the American League East. Taj Bradley at home seems like a reasonable enough price to bat. I mean, why are we stepping in front of the Rays right now?
Because their pitching is questionable. Their starting pitching, their bullpen's great. Their starting pitching is questionable. You know, guys like Shane Baz and Zach Littell, more guys who are in the bottom 10, bottom 12 of field and independent pitching. You know, Taj Bradley isn't that great. So their starting pitching is questionable at best. But, you know, these guys are capable of producing decent outings on a routine basis, but they're never going to wow you. You know, I mean, these are quality starts, guys, who are going to give you 6 innings and 3 runs. And if the Tampa Bay offense is on point and it gets a team like Baltimore who doesn't have that great of pitching, you start to believe that, yeah, maybe this is a setup here where where Baltimore can score some runs and score them early here, because you're probably not going to score them late off the Tampa Bay bullpen. So point simply being here that it's hard to sometimes trust the Rays given their starting pitching. But if they score runs early, it's a good spot for them to be.
13 hits by the Orioles last night. They certainly had no problem scoring runs in that 5-1, and their bullpen seems to have finally, with Batista, figured some things out there in Baltimore. They just posted a 7:40 first pitch start. There was a rain delay with the Nats taking on Colorado. The Red Hot Rockies, you know, say it with me, the Red Hot Rockies. I can't even muster the words. So what are we doing in this game with Germán Márquez pitching for Colorado?
Well, I mean, look, part of the biggest part of this handicap here in backing Washington, laying a half run in the first five, simply is that, do we really believe the Rockies can win four in a row? I don't know. Probably not. They did win three in a row at one point earlier this year, so they're at their season-long limit here. But they are starting a lefty here in Mitchell Parker, the Nats are, and Colorado is bottom three, batting average OPS and WRC plus against left-handed pitching. So you have to hope that at least he can minimize some of the damage. And you get to Germán Márquez. I mean, last night, Antonio Sensatella pitched for Colorado, and he's literally the worst starter in Major League Baseball by every metric. And they were able to give him 10 runs of support. So, you know, this requires the Nationals to get up early and get to Márquez, and for Mitchell Parker to limit the damage, which I think he can do.
Crazy last night. It really was. Seven home runs for Colorado in a game that wasn't at Coors Field. Kind of nuts there, Zen. How about the Twins and the Reds? We did get a pretty good game there last night, and I think we went over the total. They scored 11 runs last night. What are we doing in this one here tonight against Minnesota with Ober on the mound?
Well, you're looking at two really bad starters. Nick Lodolo is a good starter, but his home road splits are god-awful. His numbers at home are terrible. Like, he is just not a guy that you want to back at home this year. And in his last four starts at home, this is only his sixth start of the year at home, but his last four starts at home, he's given up at least three runs. He's got a 5.85 ERA at home. He's given up 8 of his 10 home runs at home. Opposing hitters are batting .290 against him at home. All those numbers take a massive drop once he gets on the road. And then you're also looking at Bailey Ober, who isn't setting the world on fire in any size, way, shape, or form. His road ERA is 4.6. Guys are batting .280 off him on the road. And this is also a guy, you know, who it puts up, you know, very mediocre numbers as far as his whip is concerned. He's given up 36 hits in 31 innings, tack on another 9 walks. There's going to be base runners on for Cincinnati, who scores more at home than they do on the road.
Yeah, a Great American Ballpark heating up there for sure with Cincinnati. So, yeah, I like the over in that spot as well. We do have, of course, Aaron Judge up. He might actually get a walk. That might actually be a good thing here for the New York Yankees, because that means he's not striking out. When we come back here, Zen, I want to get your thoughts here, and they're just underway right now. Are you laying $2 with Chris Sale and your Braves team? Is that something that's a smart bet, even with Chris Sale?
I would never lay $2 with the Braves. The Braves should never be a $2 favorite against anybody, not even the Pirates or the Rockies. They were a $3 favorite, and they lost the game outright in the last game of the series they played. So, no. The Braves continue to be overpriced, massively, massively overpriced. So you can't bet on them. Only do it situationally. Even the other night in game 1 of this series, when they opened up as $1.50 favorite, I'm like, that's nuts. Now, granted, they blew it, the Mets did, and they came back, the Braves came back and won it, but that wasn't really the way that game went down. They were supposed to lose that, Atlanta was.
Yeah, we got, by the way, Judge struck out, so we're screwed here. We're screwed not getting there with the Yankees busting out here. All right, don't go anywhere, Zim. We got a couple more games to go over as Game Time Decisions continues here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Let's welcome back in Mark Zinno. As Mark, a couple of the games on the board here tonight coming up just after the top of the hour. I mean, listen, I'll admit it. I was laughing when Corbin signed with the Rangers, and I'm going, what are they doing? But I'm not laughing anymore, Zinn. He's actually been very serviceable for him. And a Texas Rangers team there, just when you think the bats have figured it out, they get one run last night and lose 6-1. You got Bubich versus Corbin. Total is 8. Seems high. What are you thinking we get here tonight?
I mean, I don't know what alternate universe I entered where I'd like to bet an under in a game started by Patrick Corbin, but that's where we are right now. It's an alternate universe where the Yankees can't score a run. It's an alternate universe where the Indiana Pacers actually managed to win 2 games against the Oklahoma City Thunder. So we are in very strange times here at this point in time. Yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, it's a first 5 under deal here in this game. Even at the 3.5, I'd be willing to roll the dice with it. The Royals scoring 6 runs on the road is probably more surprising than anything. And this is a Texas lineup that doesn't hit anywhere on planet Earth. So yeah. Bubich should be enough to be able to keep these guys at bay here. You know, and I think he hit 3 or less here in the first 5. I don't know if I trust that Royals bullpen or the Rangers bullpen late.
The whole Houston with Framber on the mound versus Severino in Sacramento, this line, I think it's cheap for Houston, but I don't understand why we're not getting a 10 for a total here. I mean, what, we get 14 runs, 16 runs last night? What, Framber's going to shut them down? What are we doing?
There is no more dynamic splits for any pitcher in Major League Baseball here than there is for Luis Severino, whose road ERA is 0.93. Opposing hitters are batting .194 against him. He has a sub-1 whip and has not allowed a home run all year long in 6 starts. At home, his ERA is over 7. Guys are batting .300 against him. All 6 of his home runs have come at home, and his whip is astronomically high. He's given up, what we talk about, his whip is about .125. So if not closer to .150. I mean, you know, I don't know what you do with this. Does eventually baseball regression show up and Luis Severino has a decent home start? I wouldn't bet on that now. But again, Houston doesn't necessarily hit the ball that well. It's not an offense that's really turned it on yet at this point in time. And the line is a little bit stinky because you feel like with Framber on the mound, it should be a little bit heavier for Houston. Feels kind of like a spot here where you can get a decent price on the A's plus the 1.5. I don't know if I certainly wouldn't lay 1.5 with Houston because I don't trust that offense at all. But again, Framber Valdez is another guy who has worse numbers on the road. And, you know, Sacramento, whatever, the A's, the Athletics, they actually could still hit the ball. I mean, it's the one thing they do is hit the ball. So I wouldn't put it past them to be able to score in this game.
Dodgers late night against the Padres. Kolek had a couple of pretty nice starts under his belt. Yeah. Sheehan going for the Dodgers, 9.5. Are we just looking at totals here? What are we doing in this game?
I mean, Kolek's numbers, another guy on the road. I mean, here are these splits. His ERA on the road, 1.75. His ERA at home, 9.58. Granted, he's only had 2 home starts this year. He obviously got rocked, and both of them gave up 3 home runs and allowed 11 runs in 10 and a third. So he's had 6. This will be his 7th road start of the year. Sample size is larger, but facing the Dodgers is a whole different animal, and this is a guy who doesn't necessarily have a ton of experience in the majors to go off of when facing a lineup like Los Angeles. So it's tough to know what to do here. You'd think that, you know, at least the Padres would be able to stay close in this thing. But it feels like LA this year has San Diego's number, whereas in years past on the regular season, San Diego requited themselves pretty well against them.
So let me ask you tomorrow, game six in Indiana for the NBA Finals. Are we overhyping this Halliburton thing? Or are the Pacers capable without Halliburton of getting into a game seven?
The Pacers don't bring back Reggie Miller in his purest form. They're not winning this game. The series is over. And Oklahoma City still has yet to play a complete game and shoot anywhere near their regular season numbers in any game in this series. If they come remotely close to shooting to what their regular season percentages are, they're going to blow this team out of the water. The series is over tomorrow.
Two game sixes. One last night. Florida Panthers ended it. OKC tomorrow night with a chance to raise the trophy there. Zinn, we appreciate it, my man. Enjoy the games. Game time decisions. We got an update next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game time decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by as we've got a leadoff home run by Ronald Acuna there for Atlanta. They are up 1-0 on the New York Mets. Stop me if you've heard this one. The Yankees still haven't scored a run, but such is life. Toronto is up on Arizona 1-0 in that game as well. We got much more Major League Baseball coming up, but let's not forget we're coming out of a weekend, Father's Day weekend, in which, I don't know, I thought the U.S. Open was gross on so many different levels, but let's bring in our good friend Brady Cannon here, who can somehow help me understand what the USGA was thinking on that Sunday, leaving these guys out to dry like that, figuratively.
I don't know if dry is the right word, right?
Yeah. I can put the irony there, but my goodness, Brady. I mean, yeah. To have a guy, and kudos to him, J.J. Spawn.
Yeah.
But a guy who shoots 40 on the front should not win the U.S. Open. Shouldn't. I'm sorry.
And thank goodness he made that bomb, because that was electric. And that was a moment, because that last couple and a half hours or so of the U.S. Open was not pretty, to your point. Now, that being said, Joe, I thought like the first three rounds and the beginning of the final round, especially the first 3 days, I thought they were brilliant. I thought Oakmont was fantastic. The way it was so difficult and the way it tested these players right to the edge. I mean, hey, we even got to see Scottie Scheffler, you know, hit a couple of balls in the rough. I mean, when was the last time we saw that? It was a fair test. It was very, very fair, but it was very, very hard. And it really produced what was going to be the best golfer for those 4 days until we got to Sunday. And you know what? Unfortunately, we can't control Mother Nature. It was kind of anticlimactic for a minute there. Like I say, until Spawn, you know, hit the bomb. But I'd love to see him go back to Oakmont every year. I mean, you take that weather out of Sunday, you know, take that out of the equation. And I thought that was brilliant. And one thing that I have really enjoyed about every major this year, Joe, I think they have all absolutely lived up to the fullest of their identity. The Masters was drama and tradition. And, you know, the tournament doesn't start until the second nine on Sunday, right? The PGA was a golf professional clinic by Scottie Scheffler. Drive it in the fairway, make the putt, don't get rattled, hold off guys like Rahm and DeChambeau. And then the U.S. Open lived up to the billing of being the most brutal, diabolical test that, you know, golf can put in front of you. And again, that just that last little percentage, you know, 10% that Mother Nature dominated was unfortunate. But so far, I thought we've really gotten everything out of what these major championships are supposed to be in 2025.
Well, we got one signature event left this week coming up at the Travelers. So do you approach it where there were a lot of guys that did not have great weeks and really weren't even playing on the weekend? Do you focus in on any of those guys that got out of Oakmont and prepping for this one?
You know, I bet five guys outright this week, and I only bet one guy that didn't make the cut. I think there's certainly something to that, you know, betting on guys that didn't have to deal with that weekend. I don't necessarily want to deal with any of the guys that were coming down the stretch on Sunday, like Adam Scott, like Sam Burns, like JJ Spahn. You know, some of these guys that went through that mental pressure cooker and, you know, were just in the throes of that drama and that mental strain, that's brutal. That's going to take a minute to recover from, I believe. I did land on Robert McIntyre, who, you know, nearly won the darn thing, right? But with McIntyre, he was in the clubhouse for, you know, 90 minutes to 2 hours sitting back on the lead. He wasn't really involved in that gauntlet down the stretch that these guys had to deal with, the rain and everything else. He was kind of kicking back for a minute. So I think more with McIntyre, it's simply good form. And he got 72 guys in the field, Joe. And you can get these guys at like 50 to 1 because Scotty and Rory and JT and Morikawa and all these guys are at the top of the board. You look down the list here, you've got major champions, multi-time winners, yada, yada, even into the triple digit odds.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. This is a, what do we know about this course too, Brady? Guys coming from Oakmont to this course, similar, not some, what can we expect here, you think?
It's going to be a polar opposite. I mean, we went from one guy that finished under par to possibly all 72 finishing under par this week. You know, the average winning score here over the last 3 years has been 21 under par. This is only the second year it's been a signature event. So it makes sense that they could go even lower because the level of talent has been increased the last couple of years. Scotty Scheffler shot 22 under par last year, and all that did was get him to a playoff. I was on, of course, Tom Kim at 50 to 1, who eventually lost the playoff. But, you know, the point is, I think this is a bit of a birdie fest here compared to last week being a bit of a bogey fest.
This was the tournament where the protesters ran across the green, was it? Then they had to move the hole. The whole thing was weird last year. Yes, I remember that. But we've got some decent numbers, and you're talking about probably a lot of birdies going on here. So, you've got some guys on the outright markets. Is there an outside dog somewhere around here that you like that maybe, I mean, is it Aberg, Xander, any of these guys worth a top 10, top 20 situation here?
Yeah. Now you're going to have to pay a little bit of a premium for top 10 and top 20 this week because there's only 72 guys in the field. And I played a few of my guys for top 20, all at plus money. Actually played a couple of my guys for top 30 at plus money. I just couldn't, for one reason or another, I found a reason to poke a hole in one of the guys at the top. Xander's close. I almost landed on him. I think he's close to being ready to win again, and he's won again. He's won here before. Scotty, you know how we bet him. We wait to see if he's in the lead heading into Sunday, and if he's minus 200, okay, I'll jump in. But I'm not going to bet him with 4 days of golf left to go. Morikawa doesn't seem to have it mentally upstairs to be able to close the deal. Hovland, I'm not going to go down. We saw what he did last week. He was a wreck on the green. So I went down to Bobby Mack as my first guy at 45 to 1. Siwoo Kim, I took at 50 to 1. He played really nicely last week at the U.S. Open. Wasn't necessarily in contention, but came out with a 68 in the opening round. Gained strokes on the field, tee to green. Gained strokes on the field on approach, but just couldn't make a putt. So if he finds, and he has been brilliant on Pete Dye designs. He won at the Players' Championship. You know, he's won on all the courses that are similar to TPC River Highlands. So I thought he made sense. And then Brian Harman. Brian Harman is a relatively popular play this week. He's never won here, but the guy has had god darn seven top tens here. He's a machine at this place, and he's done well. Again, you know, he's a shorter hitter. This course is not even 6,900 yards, and Harman has done really well on these Pete Dye shorter tracks like Harbortown. So he's a guy that makes sense. I played those three all for a top 20 as well. And then I talk about, you know, major champion, Matt Fitzpatrick at 110 to one. I think he's been a winner at Harbortown before. He's finished fifth at the Players' Championship, these Pete Dye designs. I think he's a good bet here. And again, the price is crazy. We can get on some of these guys. And then finally, Davis Thompson, who got his first PGA Tour victory last year at the John Deere Classic. I think this tournament is similar to the John Deere Golf Course, TPC Deer Run, and I think there's some crossover there. Thompson also finished 10th this past season, this past March, at the Players' Championship. So, you know, he's shown that he can do very, very well on this type of golf course, and he's in the neighborhood of 125 to 1.
Wow, that is crazy. Is our boy Daniel Berger, does he have a shot? Brady.
He does. Yeah. And he's absolutely a very popular play this week. Berger, Russell Henley, Victor Hovland. And I didn't want to go down that road. I tried to get outside the box a little bit. We'll see if it works.
I love it. Those numbers are fantastic. Brady, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again a little bit later in the week. Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
All right, welcome back in here. Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. We have breaking news. And before we give it to you, let's bring in our good friend Scotty Wetzel here. Be taking over at the top of the hour for In-Game Live. He'll be covering all the action here tonight. And the breaking news here, Scotty, is the Yankees have scored a run. I cannot believe it. They got one. A home run, I believe. Chisholm got crushed one, it looks like, there over the into the right field deck bleachers there. So it is 1-1, 30 no-score innings. That is now in the books here. Did you like the Yankees to come out tonight hot, or what were you thinking?
Nah, I was thinking, Angels and the under, right? If it's not broke, don't fix it. I've been on the Angels the last two nights, getting plus 175. And then the over-under, listen, I know it had sucker written all over it, 9.5, right? I mean, you said it. This team hasn't scored since, the turn of the century, and they're posting a 9.5. So I played the under. You know, it's 1-1, two home runs in the game, 30 straight scoreless innings, Joe. And then, one of the games was at Fenway Park, which is a hitter's ballpark, obviously. And then the other two were, at Yankee Stadium against the LA Angels, and then they still couldn't score. So it's not like they were playing out west, San Francisco, or wherever, hitters ball or pitchers ballparks. It's amazing. They don't win. I will say this. For the most part, they don't win when Aaron Judge doesn't hit. So we'll see what happens tonight. But I did like the Angels. I grabbed them plus the 175, and I grabbed the under. We'll get a 6-4 Yankee win tonight, no doubt. But I said, might as well just go with what's happening. And that's the under in the Angels.
Yeah, I don't hate it at all. A couple of solo home runs is where we're at right now in that game. Yep. Good one coming up top of the hour here with Kansas City and Texas. And I can't even believe I'm saying pitcher's battle and using the words Patrick Corbin. But can I tell you, Scotty, he's a different guy. He's a totally different guy with the Rangers than we've seen. And Bubich is going for Kansas City. So what do we do with this one?
Yeah, he's only allowed, Joe, listen, the starting pitching nowadays is different, right? But he's only allowed more than 3 runs twice all season. He's not going 7-8 innings. That's what I mean by how starting pitching is different nowadays. But still, I mean, he's been awful, I mean, for Washington the last couple of years. Just brutal. So I don't know what they're doing with the baseballs down in Texas, but he's pitching well. The team can't hit. Another under hit last night. I say this all the time. You know, don't worry about the first five innings. Like, don't even watch the first five innings in Texas Ranger games, because for whatever reason, there's a ton of runs scored in the first five, and then it just stops. It just stops after that. He had three runs in the first inning on an over-under of 8 yesterday, and it still came in. They had 6 runs in the first 3.5 innings, and it still came in. It's the weirdest thing. So 28-9 under this season at home. Texas, we said it before, been on your show a number of times. They're the number one under team. It's continuing. It's just under after under after under. It's 8 today. It's a little, you know, you'll get Corbin on the hill, but I'm going Texas under against Kansas City.
Why not? Not a bad opportunity here. Still think there's runs are going to be hard to come by. I don't know that they'll be hard to come by in Sacramento, but I don't understand this line. I thought Houston with Framber Valdez would be a much bigger favorite than what they are here, Scott. And the total I thought would be double digits. It's still 9.5. So what gives here with Severino going for the Athletics tonight?
Yeah, very weird, right? You know, you think if Valdez, if for some reason the boys in Vegas know Valdez isn't going to pitch, then the over-under would be in double digits, as it generally is for A's home games because they play in Sacramento, right? It's been an over ballpark. But if you think he's going to pitch well, then you're right. Why aren't they a 2-1 favorite? We're talking about a first-place team versus basically a last-place team that's not playing well. They own them, like 26-10, their last 35, 36 meetings against the A's. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's kind of like San Francisco's game last night. That line had written all over it. And sure enough, San Fran found a way to lose to Cleveland. So might same thing happen here, but I'm going with the Houston. Yeah, give me the small price at -160/-165 on the road.
I agree. What are we doing with the Dodgers tonight here? These two teams don't like one another, but Kolek versus Sheehan for L.A., it feels like another over. Doesn't it, Scott? Just, like, keep scoring runs? What do we do here?
Yeah, it's nothing but overs for Dodger home. Yeah, 14-5, I believe it is, last 19 games. They beat San Diego, too. They don't lose to San Diego at home. It's in the neighborhood of, like, 22-4, last 26 home games. They beat the Padres. It's taken the first two games of this series, despite really both games being, you know, bullpen by committee type of game, which, you know, it might be again tonight with Sheehan on the hill. Don't like laying the -2-1, so I'll lay the 1.5, but you got to keep on playing the Dodgers and keep on playing the over. You know, all these things are going to flip, Joe, like Yankees, you know, Angels and under. You know, eventually it's going to be Yankees and over, and same thing with the Dodgers and over at home. It's going to flip somewhere along the line. They're going to lose a home game. Game's going to go under, but until it does, I bet with these streaks. So give me the Dodgers and give me the over 9.5.
Yeah, I like that a lot there. And, of course, Verlander back on the mound for the Giants tonight. Logan Allen for the Guardians. Devers wasn't enough for them to win last night. Do they bounce back here?
You know, I'm going to bet them again. I don't like betting Verlander at this point in his career. I don't have a whole lot of faith in him. I did find a new little prop on FanDuel. Screwing around here the last couple of minutes because I had a big play on the Milwaukee Cubs game that was going to throw you a bunch of props, but that turned out to get rained out already. So FanDuel now, Joe, is offering total hits, runs, and RBIs for a player. They normally do it for games, but now they're doing it for each player. And I'd like that a lot more than total bases, because total bases, you get screwed because if the guy gets a walk, that doesn't count. Or if he gets on base by an error, it doesn't count as a total base. So I'm going to go 3 or more for Devers tonight and 3 or more for Jose Ramirez for Cleveland. Ramirez had a 35 straight on base streak snap recently. He's 0 for his last two games, so he's overdue, hitting 300s, having a great season. And then Devers got a couple of hits yesterday. So it's total 3 or more, and you're getting plus odds, +125 for both those guys.
I like that. Like that a lot. Going to look that right now here as the Giants are going back at it with the Guardians tonight. We appreciate it as always, Scotty. We'll see you here top of the hour for In-Game Live. Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions as we look to close out this edition here together. We got much more coming your way, including Scott Wetzel, Joe Maddon taking over here at the top of the hour. In-game live coming your way here, and plenty going on here tonight. We do have, I believe, one WNBA game underway at the break with Phoenix and Connecticut. Phoenix on top, 48-36 at the break. We do have plenty of Major League Baseball, a lot of rain across the country here, so we've had a lot of games postponed, but the New York Mets are kind of hoping it would have rained in Atlanta because it's raining runs right now for the Atlanta Braves. 3-0 with an opportunity for more here, so the Mets are going to have their work cut out for them down 3-0. The Yankees finally scored a run, 1-1 in that one there as they're coming up in the bottom of the third inning. We got no score with Tampa and Baltimore top of the second. Toronto got a run in the first inning at home against Arizona, and that's all she wrote there. Bottom of the third, still just 1-0 against Arizona. We are getting ready for a couple of other games, including Colorado and Washington, which has now been pushed back to 8:30 Eastern time. So Scott Wetzel, Joe Maddon, they'll have the start of that game coming your way here on in-game live. But we got a 4-1 game with Philadelphia. Philly, 3-run homer, I believe. They added 4 runs there in the fourth inning, but Miami just got one back. They're in the bottom of the fifth, 4-1. The Phillies on top there. We're getting ready for Kansas City and Texas. That game getting underway here with Corbin and Bubich. Two of the worst hitting teams against left-handed hitters, left-handed pitching, and two pretty decent left-handed pitchers going on with Bubich and Corbin. First 5 under, not a bad way to look there. And you can see Bubich, there is a reason why 5.5 Ks is juiced to the over. Texas bats, yeah, they tend to chase a little bit here, but they had been playing pretty well up until last night. The Rangers really thought they might have turned a corner, and maybe the bats started to figure some things out, but that was short-lived with 1 run in total last night with Lugo and the bullpen for the Royals. And then Houston taking on the Athletics. That game coming up here with Framber Valdez against Severino. I don't know how anybody's going to sweat an under out in this game, but I do think Houston, and maybe even laying the 1.5, not a bad way to look at it here. They will have 9 at-bats as the away team, and I just trust them a lot more, that lineup, than we do anything that the Athletics are going to bring to the table against Framber and Severino. The splits at that ballpark versus what he is on the road are night and day. Definitely worth taking a look at that one. You'll end it with the West Coast games with Dodgers and the Padres here tonight. As boy, oh boy, if it ain't broke, I ain't fixing it with that one too. It feels like we're just mixing and matching all sorts of pitchers here. Kolek going tonight here. Also been very good at home, not so much on the road. And Emmett Sheehan is going there, right-hander, making his 2025 debut. He's another one of these Dodger pitchers who is returning from Tommy John surgery, hasn't pitched since, I believe, 2023. And he wasn't that bad when he was with the team there, but unfortunately ended up getting hurt, but he's making his season debut. Never know what you're going to get for guys like that. Bullpens will be involved. Call me crazy. Just give me the over. Let's hope for runs, and more runs in that one. And Justin Verlander back on the hill tonight for the Giants as they look to get one back against the Cleveland Guardians. 3-2, lower scoring game last night. If we're being honest, I don't know that I see a ton more runs in this game here tonight. So that is a pitcher's ballpark after all. And Verlander still doesn't have a win as a Giant, if you can believe it here. Still winless, though. Was on the shelf for some shoulder tightness, dead arm. But he is back, ready to go. The money has been coming in on the Guardians here, but that total hovering right around the 8 mark. So Verlander looking to get his first win, and Rafael Devers looking to get his first win in a Giant uniform. So a lot coming your way here tonight. You don't have to go anywhere. In-game live is coming up next. Game time decisions. We'll see you again tomorrow on the grid.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.